DanielBrett.com. The term legendary is so overused, it seems, but you got to really use that label or that title when you talk about Big Jim Hamill. Buddy, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. Of course, at my age, I'm glad to be anywhere. But I'm glad to be here.
You're best known with the Kingsmen and the time that you spent there. Is that the only group you perform with?
Oh, no. I started out years ago with a quartet out in Iowa. Made $50 a week, did two live radio shows, and cost me 30 a week to stay in the hotel. But, boy, I was really singing. Yeah. And then I went with the Weatherfords and then the Blue Ridge and then the Oak Ridge and then with the Kingsmen in 1971.
Weatherfords and Blue Ridge, George Yount sang with them, right?
Yes. I had two doses of George.
Was that enough?
No. He was a great singer and a great guy. Had a lot of fun.
Yeah. When did you join the Kingsmen?
1971.
71. And when did that group start on the road?
Well, when I first came with them, Eldridge Fox, the owner and boss, had two piano stores, one in Asheville, North Carolina, and one in a little town called Hendersonville, where I moved to, and I took care of the piano store. We'd been traveling so much, and I wanted to get away from traveling, so Foxy said, well, come manage one of my stores, and we'll sing just on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I said, fine. Well, that didn't last. First thing you know, we were singing on Saturday and Sunday, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And they're just terrible, just singing over and over and over. So we closed the piano stores and just took off singing. And God really blessed us. We had a great time and great career with the Kingsmen.
And how long did you stay on the road pretty much full time with them?
With the Kingsmen?
Yeah.
From 1971 to, 206, 90, to 96, 71 to 96.
Yeah. And you were pretty much the out front man. You did most of the talking.
I was the MC. I picked all the songs, arranged the songs, and took care of the stage. Mm-hmm. Now Eldridge was the boss, and he took care of the business, and we never mixed. We never had any problem, but I never knew what pay scale we were on or anything.
Right.
And he took care of me, and on the other hand, he didn't tell me who to feature or what songs to sing, and we had a great relationship until he passed away.
Producing a show, producing a night of music, what goes into that? Do you sit down and with a pen and paper, do you scratch it all out, or is it all in your head?
No. If we had a program, none of us could have read it. the thing that I always did, I always had to call my quiet time, and anybody that knows me won't hardly believe that, but I would ask the Lord, now, do they want me to be funny tonight? Do they want the Kingsmen just to be funny and act or sing nothing but fast songs or slow songs? And I do my best to let the Lord lead. Mm-hmm. And when I let him lead and got us out of the way, it was always successful. And so, no, there was never a plan, never. Of course, we knew what two or three songs we'd open with.
Sure.
And mostly the best song we had we'd close with. Mm-hmm. But anything in the middle, was just what we felt like singing.
And you had some great songs.
Yeah.
You have to admit that, yeah. What are some of your favorites that...
Oh, I like Stand Up, Old Ship of Zion, Apple Tree Song, Excuses. Mm-hmm. Just go on and on and on.
And Excuses, you came back and did a new version, didn't you?
Yeah. We did that on Alabama Live. More Excuses.
Yeah.
And that was good. But it never did achieve the magnitude that Excuses, the first one, did.
Sure. Where do you find your stories? And you've had a bunch of them. And do you find that by laughing you've been able to stay young?
I'm not that young, but anyway, the stories are the hardest thing. Now, whether you've emceed or not, I don't know, but the comedy part, the funny stuff, they remember from like you work a town like twice a year.
Yeah.
And you start doing the same jokes. That'll get only, you can do the same songs.
Yeah.
You know, in the same spot, but you start hitting them with the same old jokes about the tenor and singing, looking like a man and singing like a woman and that kind of stuff. They pick up on that in a hurry, but, to stay fresh, you try to, your approach with the comedy and the feel good and try to do that.
What got you into music in the first place? Did you grow up around it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. My mother was choir director at the church. Her dad was a preacher, mm-hmm. and she directed the choir. And the first organ they bought, they delivered it Saturday afternoon, and she took the book Saturday. And Saturday night and Sunday, yeah. she played the big Hammond organ for service. Yeah. And she was a great musician and learned from her reading, sight reading, and vocals.
Mm-hmm. Have the Kingsmen always been based out of North Carolina?
Oh, yes. Asheville, yes.
Asheville. And where were you born and raised?
I was born in Big Stone Gap, Virginia. That's yeah. Up in the mountains. And then lived most of my adult life in Memphis, where my dad pastored a big church there. And most of it. And I've lived in North Carolina since 71. Mm-hmm. I love those mountains, boy.
Oh, yeah. Hard to leave it.
Yes.
Tell me about some of the, obviously we have mourned the loss of Anthony Berger. He
yes.
came through the Kingsmen. Tell me about him and his time with the Kingsmen. And that was his first professional group, right?
Yeah, first professional group. Now, we heard him for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. A group called the Gospel Airs and one called the Celestials, a local boys yeah. from over around Chattanooga.
Yeah.
And Foxy made the mistake of telling him, now, if we need a piano player, we're going to call you. And about 2 months later, his mother called. He was 15 at the time. His mother called and said, look, said we own two piano stores, and he's fixed for life, and he don't need to finish high school. Said, mm-hmm. never had a mother say that before. He's driving us crazy, and as soon as you can use him, we want you to hire him. Yeah. And so Fox did, with the understanding that he would complete a correspondence course and complete his education.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, it's easy after somebody's gone to talk real good about him and all, but I can honestly say that he was the best, not only the best person, but the best musician, best piano player I've ever seen.
Was he as good when you first hired him as he was when you left?
He got better. He got better every day.
Yeah.
And it just seemed it came so easy. You know, I mean, the rest of the boys, a bass player and a guitar player, they'd take those instruments home and practice and practice. Not him, son. It just, he one time one of the tallies, that tally boy was getting married.
Yeah.
So we were on a cruise to Nassau. I don't know why, but they didn't want to spend their honeymoon with all those people. So they went off and asked Anthony to play the piano. Well, he didn't miss a note. He did not miss a lick.
Wow.
No rehearsal.
Wow.
Set right. And he might have missed a tempo or two. You know, mm-hmm. that's hard to do. But he just like falling off a log. No problem.
With the trio, he went back and recorded Glory Road. Of course,
yeah.
he sang the baritone part. He was not with the Kingsmen when that original version of Glory Road came out.
Oh, yes, he was.
Was he?
Yeah. He was. No, I'm sorry. He was not.
No,
he came about maybe 6 or 8 months, maybe a year after
yeah.
we started it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're absolutely right. That was a great song. And Squire was with us when we did that. And he's a tremendous
yeah.
talent.
Yeah.
One thing I liked about it, if I get to rambling, you can just stop me, was Squire. I picked the songs. And when Squire was with us, Squire said, I need a little sing-along song, just like the Statesman. Okay. And he brought, I'll have a new song over in glory.
Yeah,
you know, one of those.
Yeah.
Then I said, I need a real heavy song.
Yeah.
He's still living.
Yeah.
And boy, it's great picking songs. And you just order up what you want.
Yeah.
Like down at Burger King.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He's good.
Yeah. And Squire was a great songwriter. When Squire wrote Beulah Land, was that before or after Kingsmen?
I think it was before.
Before.
Yeah, and then when he came with us, we started singing it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Give me some names of some others who came through the group.
Let's see. There's Squire and Johnny Parrick.
Yeah.
Jay's daddy.
Yeah.
Johnny Parrick. And Wayne Maynard. I don't guess you know him.
I
he's
do.
A baritone.
Yeah.
You know
Child,
Wayne.
Child.
Yeah. Oh, he's a great singer. Yeah, Child,
yeah.
Child. You've done
yeah.
your homework,
yeah.
kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. And let's see. Oh, Gary Shepherd, Ernie Phillips. Mm-hmm. And, Lord, there's been so many of them, I can't recall them. But Shepherd and was a great singer. And Ernie was, the people just loved him because he was so little.
And Ernie's son now with Mark Trammell's
yeah,
group?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Eric. He's
Eric.
Doing a good job. Yes,
yeah.
sir.
You recorded some solo projects, I guess, after you left the Kingsmen, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I have six.
Six. How has that been? You've been with a quartet for all those years, and then you go out and trying to do something on your own.
Uncomfortable. Very. With tracks.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I told you, doing a program, I really don't do a very good job as a soloist because my hands are tied. You know that I can't do a spiel and a talk and do the same thing every night, hit the same button every night. I just can't do it. A lot of people can, and they're very successful, but I just can't do it. And I do all right, but I'll never be comfortable without a quartet or trio or something singing with them.
Yeah. Kingsmen were always real big in gospel music, and I remember like the King's Gold days.
Yeah.
And, you always had good crowds. I mean,
Yeah. It's like anything else. You know, have small crowds somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't promoted right or wrong time of the year or something. But King's Gold's always great and fun to work with. Ivan, when we first started, Ivan and Brian Free and those guys and the Kingsmen and we got along good and had a great time singing.
And that's kind of a pre-homecoming type thing, you know, where you just get a bunch of singers around and start doing.
Yeah, we never rehearsed King's Gold.
Yeah.
Never rehearsed. I'd point to them, they'd sing. And used to drive piano players crazy trying to find the right key, but never rehearsed. Not the first time. Of course, it might have sounded that way, but the people liked it, and that's all that matters.
I know early on the Kingsmen were on the Gaither videos when they were still together as the very classic Kingsmen group. This is very hypothetical. If Bill Gaither and the homecoming phenomenon would have taken place maybe in the 70s or early 80s, along about that time, and given Southern Gospel that platform on television like it has, do you think it would have been as successful in the 70s and 80s as it has been in the 90s and in the 2000s?
I don't know. In the first place, you didn't have the cable.
Yeah.
You didn't have cable TV like you've got now with all the outlets and everything that where you can reach like TNT and all the local little gospel TV stations all over the country. You didn't have that in the 70s. Now, I think the appeal would have still been there, but there's no way he could have got the word out like he has now.
What do you think? Have you heard all about the talk in the industry about the American gospel music and the Christian music presenters and getting certified and this, that, and the other to broaden the base of like Carnegie Hall and bigger music halls for Southern gospel? And as Ed O'Neill told me, basically what he's heard is that it's a way to sort of sell gospel music, Southern gospel music, as an art form, just like jazz.
Well, one thing that they never take into consideration when they start all this stuff, that it's God's music.
Yeah.
It's not a Broadway spectacle.
Yeah.
It's not a county fair. It's not anything like that. It's God's music. And if you do good music, do the best you can do, the people will support you, and you don't have to go through all of that certification. And who's going to certify how somebody lives, whether they live for Jesus or not?
Right.
That's a bunch of malarkey, if you'll excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah, and Kingsmen, they would do some showy stuff, but it was always about the message, right?
Oh, yeah. Lord help. We were singing one night in Chattanooga and singing, I don't know, some old song, What a Day That'll Be or something. And a little girl, we sang in Glory Road.
Yeah.
And a little girl came up to the edge of the stage, and I thought she was going to request a song. So I motioned for whoever's playing bass to sing my part, and I said, honey, can I help you? She said, I want what the Kingsmen are singing about. Huh. I stopped that thing down. Jerry Goff and I, James Blackwood, gave an altar call. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people came down. That's certification, I think, right there.
Yeah. And as a producer, you kind of have to throw it all out whenever you feel the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's very important, isn't it?
Yes, sirree. Yeah. Even recording. In our recordings, there's a lot of things that could have done musically better.
Yeah.
But when your bass singer's going and saying his words, then you know something's happening.
Yeah.
You put that on the tape.
Tell me about Eldridge Fox in his final days. We know he was in the wheelchair
he was my best buddy.
Yeah.
And Lord, we had so much fun together and so many good times, played golf his final days were, I couldn't hardly bear, you know, to go over there. He was a wonderful man. He gave away almost everything he had.
Was he in good spirits?
Oh, yeah.
He have a good sense of humor? You ain't get.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sir. You know, you had to ride that bus with us. You better, or you'd be a miserable little old boy. I can tell you that.
Do you ever bring your families on the road?
No, yeah. When I was with the Oak Ridge, before I had any children, mm-hmm. and a lot of groups don't like for the wives to go on the bus. Mm-hmm. You know, they can go if they go in a car with their husband and all. But right. the Oak Ridge didn't care, you know.
Yeah.
And she'd go with me, and she'd iron shirts and wash shirts yeah. for yeah. Smitty and the guys. But when we had the children, mm-hmm. I have a daughter 37 and a son 35. And when they came along, she quit traveling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now that you brought it up, I'd like the folks to remember in prayer she had a stroke in January. Mm-hmm. And she's really been down, but she's doing gradually a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Are you still traveling and singing?
Yeah, yeah. I go two or three times a month. I go out, and I love to go, love yeah. the people.
Yeah.
And can't sing like I used to, but I do good enough to get by.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I love going to see the people.
Sure, sure. Do you have a website or anything where we can get in touch with you?
Just my
email
is jimhamill2004@yahoo.com.
All right.
And I'd love to hear from you. And I got to get one of these radios in my car.
There you go. Yeah, you can hear it all over, coast to coast.
Oh, I know. I told the guys the other day I had to take my 8-track out to make room for my cell phone.
Yeah.
That's how far behind I am. But, yeah, I've been hearing good reports on this.
Well, I was told, so you can't get mad at me, okay? I was told to ask you about Davy Crockett. I have no idea where this is going to go.
Some guy told me that a guy, we were singing somewhere down in Alabama, and he told me Davy Crockett was born there. And I went and made a great big long spiel, and he wasn't born there.
No,
he wasn't born anywhere close to there. And those people laughed at me. Oh, my. But that's where that's from. That
okay.
I'm going to kill him.
I'm sure you have stories like that happen all over the place.
Oh, my.
And
Lord.
Especially since you're the one telling the jokes, people like to get you back. And so,
oh, yeah. Yes, sir, Ree.
Yeah.
The worst one, Ray, I was out playing golf in Goldsboro, North Carolina. I never will forget it. And I came in to the golf course, and I was hot and sweaty from the golf course, and we always would get a couple of rooms to clean up in, and they'll always put the room number on a chalkboard up in front of the bus.
Right.
So I came in, loaded my clubs underneath, and Ray was standing. I said, "What room is it, Ray?" He said, 106 there, buddy. And I went to there, and there was modeling pantyhose in there. And I said, and I had my coat suit bag here and carrying a suitcase, and that lady liked to beat me to death before I could get out of there. And I apologized and apologized. That's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's good to have friendships like that, I guess. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I turned it around on them some. So.
Yeah, well, you have to.
As they say in the mountains, fair is fair.
Yeah, that's right. You think you'll ever leave North Carolina?
No. In a box.
Yeah.
When he slammed the lid and send me on my way. Yeah, that's when I leave.
Yeah. How do you want Jim Hamill to be remembered?
As somebody that is honest, and somebody that lives for Jesus, and somebody that has tried to portray and live the message in the songs that we sing, and that'll do for me. They don't have to say Hall of Fame or nothing else.
Yeah.
Just that he lived for Jesus and sung what he lived and lived what he sung.
Well, we do appreciate this time. And
thank you.
And we'll be sure to always remember the legacy you have given to us and the Kingsmen, and we'll remember Foxy and the whole story. It's a great one.
Well, I appreciate it. God bless you.